Thank you. Again, the Parnas Hashana is sponsoring Shiurim Le'ilu Nishmas of Gedali ben Reb Shimon, Yisham Shem Ani, all of them, Simcha Nachas and Baruch. Last day of Shabbos, we were zochet to learn together a little Torah from Rav Kook, from the compilation of Chadorov, about how one cannot find Oisha, Simcha, in the accidents of life, in the mikrim of life. The only way that a person can find Oisha and Simcha is with the interiority within oneself. And there are two ways that a person can look at his Yiddishkeit, the Torah mitzvahs, the two ways, and that's what we're learning in Ayaka. So all of the whole Sefer Ayaka are perushim on Rav Kook's Torah. There are two ways of looking at one's Torah mitzvahs. You can look at your tefillin, at your Shabbos, at your Pesach. You can look at them as commandments that are coming from outside of you. And depending upon how you view Hashem at that moment in your life, whether things are going well or not so well, you'll feel more of an interest in doing these things because you're getting along with Him at that moment, or maybe you're just afraid if you don't do the stuff, it's not going to be good for you, it's going to get worse. But the Metzius is that you look at your Yiddishkeit as something which is speaking to you from outside. So I mentioned many times that Baal Musa gave a marshal of how to understand this, that when it's something that you want to do, let's say you're hungry, you haven't eaten all day and you want to eat, you don't hear that rotzen of eating coming to you from the outside saying, you know, you should really have something to eat. The way that you hear it is, I'm hungry. You hear it as yourself, I'm hungry, because you identify with that. But let's say it's cold and nasty weather and you got back very, very late and you don't really feel like getting up to daven to go to shul. Thank you. You don't really feel like getting up. You're very, very tired. So then it's interesting how you'll hear it saying, the voice will come to you, the Yetzer HaTov will speak to you like this. You know, you really should get up. It's not coming to you from within. I must get up. It's coming to you from outside. Kilo, somebody outside of you is trying to convince you or to talk to you or to discuss it with you because you've already made the separation between yourself and davening. It's not something which is me. It's something which is outside of me. So it speaks to you in a voice outside of yourself. This is, of course, the change that took place with Adam and Chava and the age from the trees of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Reb Chaim and others that he can explain that it was at the beginning of time that Ra was outside of oneself, and that through the chait of the Eitz HaDa'as, Ra became something which you identify with. So even something, I'm not talking about having something to eat, but something which is even Ra, that you might identify with, I need this, I want this. But when it comes to a mitzvah, or staying away from the veirids, you know, you really shouldn't do this, or this is something you should do. So when a person sees Torah mitzvahs as that which is within himself. That's the voice that's within himself. That's the deepest, deepest self of all selves that's speaking to you. So then there's no greater Oisha, there's no greater Simcha in the world than living that life of that's your own. If you see Yiddishkeit as something that's outside of you, then you're living somebody else's life. It could be Moshe Rabbeinu's life. I don't know, Hashem's life. Somebody has a program, and I have to follow that program. And whenever a person's in that way of thinking, so then it's Avodim Hayinu L'Parvah Mitzray. And you see, the Yiddishkeit is Avodim Hayinu L'Parvah Mitzray. My Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit of Avodim Hayinu L'Parvah Mitzray. It's a feeling of Avdus and of Shiva. When a person's Yiddishkeit is perceived truthfully as coming from within oneself, that it's the nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechid of who you are, so then there's no greater simcha in the world. So that's what we're learning on page Pei, Can I echo? Haroivet haruchani kvarnela ma'oid mi'itanu. Unfortunately, this layer, this inner layer of who we are, ruchnius, is very often, it's ne'elam ma'od. It's something which is very hidden from us. We're not in contact with that. It's a guf anachnu makir. So I am hungry. I am hungry because the guf, the language of the guf, we understand very well. And the language of the guf is you didn't eat anything all day, so it's not that you are hungry. I am hungry. Because we recognize the language, and we're very familiar with the guf, the language of the guf of the body. Pagamis hanefesh onu makirim yachasit. Yachasit means relatively, we do feel a connection to some emotions that we identify with on a very basic level of al haruach. But when we go deeper to the place that's inside of us called ruach, without going into all those distinctions right now, however, the ruach, there's the guf, there's the nefesh, but nefesh is still the esek of the ikka, esek of the nefesh is with really the bodily functions. But once you go, a little bit with the emotions, but once you go into the ruach, so that's really, we're getting closer to the mahus of the person. But it's a sound, it's a voice that's very hard to hear. It's already the sound, this layer of who we are is unclear. It's very hidden from us. What we're learning about in Chavrus Yosef HaTzadik and the Shacharim, we're learning about how that B'shas Mesivus Nefesh, Kiddush Hashem, all of a sudden the Ruach, the Neshama, Chai Yechida, all of a sudden it explodes when a person is in that place of Kiddush Hashem. But on a regular day, this roved, this layer of ruach, is already matushtash. It's confusing and it's blur. It's unclear and hidden. Kan bo haTorah madricha isanu b'tchum hanistar she'einenu makirim. So when the Torah comes along and says, make a bracha. When you eat, you have to make a bracha. What the Torah is doing is it's providing you, and the Chachamim are providing us with a way to reach the ruach, a way to enter into that realm of who we are that's called ruach. Umadricha sonu b'tchum hanistar. It directs us towards that tchum hanistar, that hidden area of who we are, she'einenu makirim, that we don't really know well. From the time that we're in the world, everything was with the body. From the time we're babies and we're crying for milk or something, and we're crying for mommy, so it's the guf, everything's the guf. So that's the sound, that's the noise of the guf we've been hearing and we've been making all of our lives, the time that we're in the world. But the sound of the voice of the ruach, of the neshama, it's very, very hidden. So Hashem Zohar gave us a way, ways, 613 derais, and all the drabbanans, and all the customs that we have, ways of reaching that location within us, that place within us. The place that we normally are not so familiar with. Hadrachas elu, kololos es hamitzvus she'en lanu kol kach havana behen. And these instructions, these guidelines of ways of reaching the hidden part of ourselves, many of these are mitzvahs that we bechlal don't understand at all. And we have no idea. For instance, going isabosu v'cholav, not eating meat, not eating, mixing meat and milk. How is that something which? How is that something which brings me to that part of that place of that hidden place of who I am, or the mitzias chas v'sholom of there being a tarubis of meat and milk is something which drives me away, pushes me away. What does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with it? A hamburger and ice cream. What's the shaychus? You look in the swarm. So the swarm. If you look at the halachas, Rabbi Nassim, bosa b'chalav in your day. What's the need of mixing bosa b'chalav, meat and milk, and to understand on a deeper level, and as you learn more and more, what is Torah? When you learn Torah, then you begin to understand, I never realized that this inion of meat and milk, this is something which touches the very essence of who I am. And if I'm not careful, then I'm not going to be able to get into that neighborhood of Ruach and Nishama. It keeps me out if I'm not careful. So you could talk from the Heinz Morgan that my Elta Zaidi comes from Germany, so I only keep, 3 hours or something, and but it's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. Or I'm in the 6th hour, popular. It means 1 minute after 5 hours. Ice cream, right? Because you're 1 minute into the 6th hour. Interesting hamza'ah. So, imagine if you have the opportunity to make there's a business deal you're going to have for $1 million, and the guy is counting out, he gives you $1, he says, that's enough, I'm into the $1 million. Yeah, $1 into the million, thank you, shkoyach. I'm $1 into the million, I'm done. It's just an idea like this, I'm 1 minute into the 6 hours, and I'm done. These are games that, why? Because the inyan is outside of you. So because it's outside of you, it's just a stama, maha, avoida, zoyslech. You understand which one of the 4 sons, right, we're talking about. I don't want to say. Maha, avoida, zoyslech. What do I need this for? So how can I, what's the least I can get away with? So someone comes along and says, I heard that 1 minute into the 6 hours, that's already 6 hours. It's an amazing thing, you can make a minute into 60 minutes. So, because it's maha, avoida, zoyslech. Machalas asuras, all the halachas of machalas asuras, which parts of the animal, and what all these things, tefillin, what is the tefillin, mezuzah v'ayit, all of these things. Elu ma'isim she'enenu choyvim benefesh u'beregesh ha'tiv'i, es ha'tzarech ha'kiyumi b'hem. A person on his own doesn't naturally feel anything, emotionally, spiritually, on his own. If you tell a person, honor your parents. So those mitzvahs that are sichliyos, that the Rishonim call sichliyos, like you look, the Rambam or Psadia Garden, the mitzvahs that are sichliyos. So honor your parents. Say that, because I understand, it makes me feel good. These people are nice to me, I got to take care of them, and so on. So the mitzvahs that a person understands, that so he has some way to recognize that this is addressing who I am morally, ethically, I understand. But someone says, about shatnez, a kilayim, or someone told, or when it comes to that you have to get up every single day and you have to wrap some straps around your arm. So it's something which is ruachik ma'ayit. It's very far. You don't see what is the need. How does my life depend on tefillin? How does my life depend on this? So Shabbos, a person can say, nah, because it's so hard, because the whole week is, I get so clapped and so much noise and with the phones and everything, so I have Shabbos. I can understand I have a day of rest. But that's also not a Shabbos. If your whole Shabbos is that you're off, so you can lie the whole Shabbos with some stupid novel, reading on a couch, and falling asleep with a piece of kugel falling out of your mouth. So then that's your whole Shabbos. It's your whole Shabbos. You have people's Shabbos, it's like this, drinking and sleeping, and it was all Shabbos, isn't that? Because they understand Shabbos speaks to my guf, and my guf enjoys resting, and my guf enjoys eating, and Shabbos is the best day when it comes to resting and eating. That's the whole Hashem Shabbos gave us Shabbos. Bechlau, what's Einik Shabbos? To understand what Einik Shabbos is, what does it mean resting on Shabbos, and what is the Menuchas Shabbos, and what does it mean the eating of Shabbos, the Machalos of Shabbos? But since a person is only This person is only understanding the language of the guf. The language of the guf understands when you say to rest. Oh, I understand. Rest is important. To eat a good meal with the family time. I understand family time. So you could sit around the table for 4 hours with the family talking about Narishkeit, and that's also called Shabbos. Or worse than Narishkeit, Lashon Hara Chalil. That's called Shabbos. That's not called Shabbos. That's not called Einik Shabbos. But again, it's because it's the language of the guf, and you're listening to the language of the guf. So where you could find something where the mitzvah talks to your guf, so the first night of Sukkot it talks a little bit to the guf. It's nice, but when you get like to the fourth night of Sukkot, right, and it's maybe not so comfortable in the Sukkot, whatever, a couple of bugs are dragging around. So then the sukkah no longer doesn't speak to me. The sukkah doesn't speak to me tonight. The first night of sukkah, but now the sukkah doesn't speak to me because it's the language of the guf. There are many mitzvahs that seem completely strange. That seem very, very strange. And completely foreign to me. Hasiba l'tchusha zu, the reason for this feeling, hi chayser havan habesisi, is because we lack a very basic understanding. Shlai roivet ha'pnimi shalana. We don't know. We don't understand. What is the ruach? What are the needs of the ruach? What's the neshama? What is it that the neshama needs? What is the neshama saying? We don't understand that. Elav mikuvanos mitzvahs elav, and these mitzvahs are speaking to those deeper parts of who we are, but we're out of touch and not connected to it. We don't understand. Lu hayinu makirim la'emek as kaimas haruach shabanu. If a person would understand, if a person is learning and he understands, or he's been through even some experience in his life that brought him a deeper connection with his ruach. A person, God forbid, goes through a war, a person goes through whatever, something challenging in his life, and as a result of that, he had to reach into something deeper inside of himself. But let's face it, Baruch Hashem, most of the kids these days are growing up, they have it pretty good, and there's nothing the greatest challenge, milchus or fleshus. I mean, what was the greatest challenge? So they don't have to reach deep into themselves. So they never ever encounter the part of themselves that's called ruach. They never encounter the place of themselves that's called neshama. Let alone learning the svar makadoshim to know being taught in school, being taught in yeshiva. What is the nefesh world shama chayim? Nobody ever spoke to us about. Who are you? Who are you? No one ever spoke to us about this. Who are you? When I was in Toronto last week, there's a chevra there that are working on a beautiful, beautiful curriculum. They showed me, they gave me this whole booklet that they're working on a curriculum to begin, I think this coming next school year, from the earliest grades, because they see that they're losing kids all over the place. And it's in a modern Orthodox schools that are getting together with this. I don't know all the details, but they're working on a curriculum. And they gave me this booklet with samples of questions and discussions and then sources from early age to talk about who are you? What does it mean? What does it mean in Nefesh? What's your role? What's Nesham? The most basic questions to talk about. Otherwise, what happens? It's time for your mitzvah and you know, the rabbi or your father sits you down and has a serious look on him and says, you understand, son? That your bar mitzvah, tonight's your first Kriya Shema Midaraisa. Oh, the next Homer away. It's your first Kriya Shema Midaraisa. I was totally fine before it was Daraisa. Now it's Daraisa. It's another language. You're not talking to the person. It just is something like that. Avodim eating l'parim mitzrayim. In other words, the father is basically saying, whatever enslavement you experienced while you were little, it's going to get much worse now. Welcome to the happy club. But you're not old enough to come to the kiddush club. Because you can't bear being in shul for a few extra minutes. That you'll find out about. I'll have a talk with you about that when you're older. You're not old enough to drink. It's not. But welcome to the happy club of those who are living Yiddishkeit as a state, being in a state of enslavement, chalila. He doesn't know, why am I doing this? What's the tachlis of doing this? Who is the one that I'm serving, b'chlal? You know, you're an Eved Hashem. I know Hashem. Mi Hashem, she'eshma b'koyla. That's what Pyro said. Who is God that I should listen to him? Who is God that I should listen to b'chlal? That the answer to the question of who is God is the same question as Ayaka. The answer to the question is found in the ruach neshama chayichida who you are. That's the answer to the question. And we have thousands of svarim that talk about this, that teach us this, that one can learn from the first grade. and low, fur is great to learn, to understand, to talk to our children about, to talk to ourselves about. If we would understand on a deeper level that part of us that's called Ruach, then we would know why is it that you can't have meat and milk? Like, why is meat and milk damaging to, why does that, how does that damage your Ruach? How does that take away from you your Simcha Sechaim? You're telling me that if I don't wait 6 hours, that's going to take away from my Simcha Sechaim. My whole Simcha Sechaim is having ice cream after a hamburger. And you're telling me it's going to take away my... How's he supposed to understand that? How's that going to take away my Simcha Sechaim? You're going to go to a teenager, you say to this guy, the guy's 16 years old, and you tell him, I want to tell you something now that's going to make you the happiest person in the world. Yeah. You can't talk to a girl until you're 21. That's going to make you the happiest person in the world. Trust me. First, the kid might say, you waited till you're 21? He said, it's going to make you the happiest person in the world. You wait till you're 21. Well, did it make you happy? Did you try? I didn't have the privilege of being raised in such a family like you. Chahena, the Chahena. All these diburim that the kids pick up on very quickly. On the whole sheker. You tell guys, this is going to make you so happy. What about my cousins? No, you shouldn't even talk to your cousins. Not even talk to your cousins. How's that going to make me happy? Seems to me that I'd be very happy talking to girls. That would make me very happy. The more the merrier. I know what you're talking about. Trust me. I don't trust you. So what are we talking to? Who are you talking to? This is the most serious problem in the world. It's not new. This has been going on for a long time. Every single thing that Rav Kook was writing about, those who learned even 5 sentences of Rav Kook, that's all he was screaming and yelling and begging about. Havu or, give light. Give me light. Show me what this is. Show me who I am. Show me who the Baruch Shalom is. Explain to me. Kfi she'ani yechelim l'das, lama mozan bori toiv l'guf. You can explain to a kid why these foods are good for him and why these foods are not. He might be very little, he might not understand at that age, but by the time the kid is already a little bit older, you can explain to him what does it mean, why is it that this type of food, how this type of food is bad for you, and you should only have a little bit every now and then, what's inside of this food, this candy, whatever it is, how this is not good for you. You can explain to a kid how is this food made, how is that food made. Loma mozen bari tov l'guf. We can explain to somebody, even somebody that's not observant, you can explain someone that's even lahavdil, not even Jewish, you can explain how anger is destroying your life. You can explain how conceit, how arrogance is your friend, everybody's leaving you. You can talk to a person, he can understand that. But mezuzah. But what about having a mezuzah and the importance of having a mezuzah and that the mezuzah has to be just so? Or separating meat and milk. How they open up the ruach of a person, being careful and being observant of these things and being medactic in the mitzvahs. This lack of understanding that we have about a large part of the mitzvahs. The truth of the matter is, it's not coming because we just lack in our understanding of the mitzvahs. That's, of course, a problem, that we don't understand the mitzvahs. And we're not learning the mitzvahs to understand them on a deeper level. But the ikkar is, we don't understand ourselves. Choser hakar ma'moshes u'mochoshes im ha'rovet ha'atzmi v'ha'pnimi b'socheinu. it's a lack of awareness, of understanding, in a real and tangible, clear way, of the Rovat Ha'atzmi Ha'pnimi, that inner Atzmi, the self, the Pnimi, Misochena, that's inside of us. Imzos, with all of this, and despite all of this, Chol Shadam Margulis Atzmi Yosef Yosef Mitzvos, of course, even if we don't understand, even if we don't have this understanding, we have to try as much as we can ourselves and to train our children to keep mitzvahs. K'chol shod amargulas atzmo yosef yosef mitzvahs, and when a person, at least when the person is committed, and even though you might not understand what does this do for me, and what is this, nevertheless he does believe that in a general klalistic way, that this is the Ratzon Hashem. That's an important thing. I understand that this is all the Ratzon Hashem. I don't know, with meat and milk, or you're telling me I can't talk to a girl, but I understand, at least I understand that that's the Ratzon Hashem, and I'm machnia myself to Hashem's Ratzon. I surrender myself to His will. Okay, it's a madrega, a bittle, to surrender oneself to Hashem's will, and to accustom oneself to keeping everything and observing halacha, even though I don't know exactly this, I don't know why that, I don't know exactly who I am, and I don't know what this is, but I do believe that this is something that was handed down to us from generation to generation, and that Moshe Rabbeinu stood in Har Sinai, and that there was a Rebbe Kiva, and there was Nabai Narava, and I understand that this is something that is the Ratzon Hashem, and I'm machni myself, and I'm avatar myself to that will of Hashem. That's a big madrega. That too is a very powerful thing. Humaske lahargish lat lat, and with that, a person can begin slowly to feel. You begin to feel that there's something special going on in these mitzvahs. If you have that attitude, if it's just, I don't want to, I'm out of here, of course. But if you have an attitude of bittul and humility, and the person accepts that Eved Hashem Anoichi, Eved Hashem Anoichi, I'm an Eved of Hashem. I don't know what this is exactly. I don't know how this works. I'm not quite sure of these parts of me, who I am, but I do know that this is the right thing, and I believe with all of my heart that this is the right thing to do. That's a chashuv thing, and I was 80s now. Bobby has lived this way for thousands of years without necessarily knowing and understanding all of the equipment, and without necessarily understanding all of the mitzvahs, but there was a general state of emunah pshuta and hachna, of humility and of Mesiris Nefesh for that which a person believed in Bechlal, in more of a Klaliistic way, believed in. And we went like that for the most part for a long time, with individuals here and there who were deeply connected, and many of them became our teachers, our Rebbeim, and so on, great people, and even some rank and file people who were Isaac and Pnimius and had more of a connection. But for the most part, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, were Eilich Eden, that accepted in a general way that this is our emuna, this is the right thing to do. I believe that Hashem is Baruch, knows what I should do, and I give myself to Him and I trust Him completely that this is what's right. And I don't have to know exactly what's the meat and milk, why is it, what happens with meat and milk, and I'm not going to play games with the meat and milk. And I understand thus is thus, and that's how we grew up seeing with our parents and grandparents and great grandparents for the most part. But there was a Kabbalah's Omal Hashemai. There was a hachna, the Kabbalah's Omal Hashemayim. And that is something which it's very powerful to bring a person la'at la'at, sebislach, slowly, to a place where mitzvahs begin to become something which is more significant, and you begin to feel a ruach, an awakening of ruach within oneself. That's why how I saw by my parents, an unbelievable diktik in mitzvahs, with especially my father Chalavach, with the mitzvahs, how he's medactic in every mitzvah. And if you would have asked him, what's the pnimi? My father said, pnimi, what are you talking? Pnimi is the Hashem's mom told me to do this. This is what I have to do. And that worked for people like that in under very difficult circumstances. Not talking about getting up late for davening or something. Just, you know, it was a miracle that you got up, and it worked for them. It worked for them. It kept them. And they might not have understood every single word of the Zemiras. They didn't have fancy Zemiras with translations, and they didn't know. They might have understood, but the Zemiras was Achias. It was Achias. It was a Kabbalah So Malchus Shemayim, and there was a feeling of Eved Hashem Anoichi. And those simple acts of faithfulness became to people like of those generations became very important, became very significant, and they wouldn't let go. And I saw that my father is a Chalav Rach. I saw that with those Jews of that generation, that they didn't, they refused to let go of, they refused to let go of anything. They did not let go. They could have had a million, they could have had 6 million excuses to let go, and they didn't let go. They didn't let go. There were those that did. But I saw that did not let go of any dikduk in a mitzvah of a mincha maariv, you understand? They didn't let go. The mitzvahs to them were, again, without knowing all the ins and outs, but it was my way of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I belong to you, I'm on your team. And that's a huge thing. To feel that when you're putting on the tefillin every day, shmiras haShabbos, v'shirachakus midvarim pegumim misyomim, to stay away from things that you have to stay away from. Because by giving yourself over to Hashem, and kavod l'malchus shamayim, and training yourself to be a Jew that shomer Torah mitzvahs, it's an amazing thing how Hashem made it work in such a way. It opens up the arteries of Ruchnius. Opens up. Things open up. Mispatachas gam ha'akaris ha'amuka shlo imatzmo. And you begin to have a deeper connection to yourself. Again, it doesn't mean you understand the Kabbalah. You understand in Kabbalah what that is, on the Shama. But you are infinitely more self-aware than you ever were before. You have an awareness of what is it in life that's essential, as opposed to the accidents of life that we were learning about last week, the Mikrim. You feel and you connect to what is essential in your life. And that this is the most important thing. Your priorities are healthy and right. What's important? What is it that speaks to me? I might not understand the language of the tefillin, meaning I don't know what the Arizal says, I don't know what the Rashash says about these things, all Kabbalah, and the deeper meaning of all the words and the letters, I don't know. But I know that this is the right thing, and I know that these tefillin that I'm putting on my arm and my head are an expression of the tefillin that I'm putting on inside of me. And that's a chashavah. That's a huge thing. I know that my tefillin that I'm wearing outside are the emergence of the tefillin that I'm wearing inside. That somehow the tefillin that I'm wearing inside, right now I'm putting on outside. As opposed to the whole tefillin from beginning to end are from outside. Then that's misery. The whole tefillin's from outside. I remember One time it happened when I was around 14 or something, 15, because I remember we were living in Eretz Yisrael. And one time it happened that I slept over at a friend. We had like some kind of basketball tournament somewhere, and I slept somewhere else by this friend. And I davened there, and I forgot my tefillin. I left my tefillin in my friend's house. And the next morning, it came time for my to go to shul. And I said to my father, "Oi, I forgot my tefillin." My father could not understand. He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I just, you know, I was by Avi last night, and I left my tefillin in Ramat Gan, and I, you know, I'll find some lefty in shul. I'll borrow from somebody." My father couldn't get over it. He says to my mother, he says, "He forgets his tefillin." My father, "You ever hear such a thing that a person should forget his tefillin?" He couldn't understand that I forgot my tefillin. He says to me, "It means you weren't thinking about them." I said, I just, you know, I left in a hurry. I had, well, he could not come to terms with it. And he said, I'm very disappointed that you forgot your film. To forget your film. Putting on somebody else's film. And right after shul, I was on my way to Ramat Gan to get the film. Not an hour later. No, I'll pick him up in the afternoon. Or we'll have UPS drop him off. But what was the clarity of that, that he couldn't understand. How is it possible for a Jew to leave his tefillin somewhere? You don't care about your tefillin? So that didn't come from my father studying the Kisvei Ari. My father never studied the Kisvei Ari. It didn't come from that. Where did that come from? How does that come about? How do you reproduce that in the 21st century? This is something that, you know, I've been struggling with a long time, and many of us are trying to figure out how to do that. But that comes, I believe that comes from a chinuch of bittul tashem zrotz, of surrendering, of mesius nefesh, and the munah pshuta, which is very, very hard to recreate. Not to recreate, it's there, but to get to it. But when a person puts on tefillin every day with mesiris nefesh, when a person puts on tefillin with that kabbalah sol malchus shemayim, then it opens up that part inside of yourself that you see that tefillin is not something that's outside of you. Tefillin is something that's inside of you. On the outside, you have to put them on every morning. You put on the outside, but that's not where they come from. That's not where they come from. They come from inside. It's altogether different. That's completely different. Where did the tefillin come from? They come from inside. That's what we were learning last week from Uncle Cook. The mitzvahs come from inside. They don't come from outside. So then you might not understand. It's very good to understand and to learn pnimis and to learn all the things and all this stuff is gewaldig. But when a person is keeping the mitzvahs with, in a way of Kabbalah from Alchus Shamayim or Eved Hashem Anochi, it has this remarkable ability to open up that place, so you're able to see the tefillin inside. You see the Liman HaTorah inside. You see a Shachar Mechamayev inside. You see a Shabbos inside. You get a different perspective. Instead of looking into something that's coming from the outside. My father was always at Minyan a half hour before the Minyan started. I just met somebody in Chasna the other day. And he was telling me that he comes from Queens. He was my friend, Adav with your father. And your father was always there, the first one in shul before. He was always the first one in shul. And when I would come to shul, let's say davening was at 7. I came to shul 5 to 7. My father would look up from the table and go to me like this. And we were the only two people there. What's wrong with 5 to 7? Takes me a minute to put on the tefillin. What's wrong with 5? Awesome. What's the matter with you? But I can't, unless you knew Jews like this, you can't explain what that is. It's something different. It came with, this is my life. It's not something outside of my life. And when it's your life, you come 10 minutes, 15 minutes before. You come earlier. You don't walk in, drop into shul like that. Something, it's your life. When it's your life, it's the hachanist is something. You come in, you quietly, you go slowly, you learn a Mishnah, you learn a Mishnah too, and you daven. You say the Rabbi Elimelech's tefillah, and you daven. You don't drop into shul like this. Drop in. I don't want to give the impression he was angry. It wasn't with anger. It was. Just, he was the softest, sweetest person. It was just, this was his mitzvahs. It was his entire mitzvahs. And there was nothing, there were no other ways. It was his entire mitzvahs. So I told you once, when he had a friend of his, whose son was marrying out. A guy that he knew from the Altheim, whose kid was marrying out. And he actually sent an invitation to my parents. he sent his friends invitations to come to this wedding. This guy was no longer religious at all, my father's father. He wasn't religious at all after the war. They used to see each other like once or twice a year or something. But he wasn't religious at all. And he sent an invitation to my parents. And my father, my mother said, there's an invitation from this and this person. And my father looked at it and said to me, he already had heard that the son was going out, was marrying somebody that's not Jewish. And my father, who very, very rarely would write something, my father wrote to him in Hungarian. He wrote to him, invite me to the divorce. And my mother said, I can't send this. My father closed the envelope, never did this either. Closed the envelope, put on a stamp, and walked to Jewel Avenue and on the corner and put it in the mailbox. That's it. Invite me to the divorce. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know. So my father said, so they're talking Hungarian, my father sat down, he was talking, and my mother says back in Hungarian, da 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 da. And I asked my mother, and my mother was going, oh, no. And my father just left the house. He went, he wasn't angry, he just said, invite me to the divorce.
Did they get divorced in the end?
I don't know what happened. That's a good question. I don't know. But, no, there was a clarity. Again, you can say, how can you do that? It's not the right thing to do. We don't do that. We can't do that anymore, but it's not for good reasons that we can't do that. It's because. But the clarity, it was something that was deeper, that was opened up inside of these people, that comes with a giving oneself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't depend upon understanding everything. He says, Mikeven Shaharovet HaPnimi Shebo Mitpateach, and when that inner part of you begins to open up, Mispatachas Gam HaYikarus HaMukesh Shloim Atzmo, you begin to become more aware of who you are and that this is me. It's not foreign to me. And then it's not a question. Of course I have to keep Shabbat. Of course I have to keep mitzvahs. It's not a resentment. It's not angry. It's not have to give all kinds of prizes to get this kid to daven. You have to buy him a computer or something. You have to promise him a season's ticket to the ball game that he should be able to go to daven once a shachar. You have to give him all kinds of prizes and all kinds of games and all kinds of tricks. That's for little children, but they're doing that with adults now. I know Rebbeim that are handing out tons of money. They're just doling out tons of money. I never get anything from a Rebbe except a dirty look. And the Rebbeim now are handing out tons of money. I know Rebbeim, and I agree. And not only that, I've helped to raise money for that. This kid signed up that he's gonna come to Night Seder every day this month for $100. Give him $100. Even though my teva is that this is sick. That's my teva is like this is like because I that's why I hear my father's voice. Giving him $100. He should be paying you $100 to let him into the place, the worthless idiot. He should be paying you $100 to come. You should let him into the base madrash. You're paying him $100 to come to learn? Yeah, and I try to raise money for these things too. Give the kid $100. But think of it. Do we have to come on to these things? But it's important because Sibislach, if he learns, we hope, he'll begin to hear that voice inside. Sibislach. Sibislach. Then he won't need the $100, and it'll be worth it to him $1,000 to come. He'll pay $1,000 to be able to learn. And slowly. So we try. So you have to appeal to the goof. So you tell this guy, I'll give you $100. What does $100 have to do with Bav Metzia? What does money have to do with Bav Metzia? What does that have to do one thing with the other? The Torah says that money is the language of the guf, Bav Metzia is the language of the neshama. He doesn't hear the language of Bav Metzia right now, but he hears $100, he hears. $100 he probably doesn't hear anymore, that's already. But it's a different language. It's a voice that's coming from outside. So of course we have to try to find a way to climb into the kids. And sometimes the way to climb in is like that, you know. To try to climb in. We want him to come to a place of where he's able to tam wikitoy Hashem, to taste the sweetness of Torah. And the kulay, he tastes how delicious Bav Metzia is. So then Sibislach, slowly, he'll begin to find the Bava Mitzvah inside of himself. Instead of seeing Bava Mitzvah as something outside you got to pay him to do, he begins to see the Bava Mitzvah inside of himself. He begins to feel that there's such a thing inside of himself. And he begins to talk to him within himself. That's very a mahalach of how to raise somebody. Yesh gam page peyalif, yesh gam revadim awukim oid yoyser. And of course, there are deeper levels. Revadim ha-neshama, deeper than the ruach. Peyalif, deeper than the ruach. We get the neshama. Vim amukim v'naylam oid yoyser. The deeper the place in the person, the more hidden. Va'afeleim ha-torim ha-kavenis, v'misvah seo b'drachah. And the Torah, that we learn, and all the mitzvahs, is also aiming the person, directing the person to get to that neighborhood of the neshama, to get to the neshama. Lahoylid is kermes haneshama, to give birth to the kermes haneshama, to bring out the kermes haneshama. Lahalid is oiru legalis is kedushas bepnimis adam, to illuminate that light and to be megala the kedusha of the neshama to the person. You see now, for instance, this whole tkufa of the war. That there are many of our brothers and sisters that they're not they might be officially Orthodox, but they're not so into Avodas Hashem. But they're wonderful, sweet, and holy people, but they're not so into Avodas Hashem. So these people now, you know, they have this cause of the Milchama and to do good things to help other Jews. So you'll find these people there at the. They're going crazy. Any time you say we need to, you know, there are Palestinians that are showing up at that shul, whatever, to protest. These people that you couldn't get to Minyan on time, many of them wouldn't come to Minyan on time, and they're not so excited about their Torah mitzvahs, but they'll come over there and they'll be wrapped in a flag and they'll be screaming, right? Because this inyan of Ahavas Yisrael is burning very strongly inside of them. But they see mitzvah still as outside, but a yid, a Jew, is something which is inside. So it's an unbelievable chinuch that if they would carry that over into their davening, into their learning, into their mitzvahs, because they see that they're being shown to a deeper part of themselves, that the neshama is coming out. And even chavah, they're totally not religious at all. So why are they getting so upset about that? That everybody hates Jews and the whole world is back to, you know, Germany 1930s. The whole world went back, reset to Germany. So what's that? What are you getting so upset about? What do you mean we get so upset about? So you see that something is reaching, it's reaching something, a very deep place inside of people. It's reaching the Nakuda of I'm a Jew. Like, you remember that Nebuch, that journalist that they killed him, but they cut off his head there. What was his name? Daniel Pearl. The last words that he said is that I'm a Jew. My parents are Jewish. I don't remember the exact lashon, but something like that, right?
Yes.
There was a kiddush Hashem that was, when he heard, I mean, it was terrible, but the kiddush Hashem, I am a Jew. So the kiddush Hashem. It reached something inside, that moment of Mesivas Nefesh. And people are feeling that I am a Jew, because it's entering into a place of the neshama. They can't connect that to Shabbos yet. But slowly. Then you make a Shabbaton. I was reading someplace that upstate, in one of the universities upstate, they had 1,500 kids came to a big Shabbos, not from outside, from the students. Binghamton was always the place where all the teachers in the Rebbeim said, don't send your kid to Binghamton. Mm-hmm. That was like the model of the Sitra Achra. Don't go to Binghamton. That was the place not to go to Binghamton. It meant every other place out of town, but Binghamton. Because I guess it's not so far. I mean, it's a couple hours, so Binghamton. But even though there was always a strong Chabad there, and whatever, they had Hillel. But I was just reading how they were, I think 1,500 or 2,000 kids from the university that came and they made a Shabbos and the girls were all lighting candles. It's an unbelievable thing that And if they get into that habit, how do you make it then? It should be Nachar Shabbos. And then to get some teachers in that will talk to them, not just the shluchim. How much can they do? A couple of lubavitches, it's hard to take care. You get some more chevra in there and to talk and to learn with them and to make different events with them. And that works. Then they see that Yiddishkeit is not outside of it, because that's the first step. When you have a Jew that already sees that other Jews are not outside of me, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. This other Jew, goes in a whole lavush. Remember when they killed the Chassidim Lo'aleinu in New Jersey a couple of years ago? There was in the grocery store.
In Jersey City.
So there were thousands and thousands of people that were not religious at all, that normally look at the Chassidim like, nothing to do with us, and they're weird. But they were, because the feeling is that that even though the way of doing things is outside of me, and it's weird to them, but he's a Jew and he's not outside of me. A Jew is inside of me. Another Jew is inside of me. And when you feel that every Jew in the world is inside of you, it makes no difference. Religious, not religious. Every Jew in the world is inside of me. That's Klali, it's Knesset Yisrael, Shechina. When you feel that, then that's an opening of the neshama that could, and that's the same. That's the same location as Shabbos and Kashrus and Tefillah. It's the same location. Where the other Jew lives inside of you is the same place where Shabbos and Tefillah and Kashrus, the same place as Pesach is. It's the same place inside. But we need to teach, to educate, to bring around the Chevra. But it's the same neighborhood. It's the same place. Those Jews, that they open themselves up and they feel what every Jew is feeling. And they go to, how many people went to that rally months ago that was in Washington, all these chever that they're not from at all, they wanted to be, and the people that were making such a mistake and lost the opportunity were saying negative things, Hashem Rahman. To understand what that was is a hezgalus of Nishmas Yisrael. It was a hezgalus, a revelation of Nishmas Yisrael. And there were people, even some of them learned people, rabbis, who were already, who's on first, who's on second, and who's speaking, and I'm not speaking, and they're speaking. Nishmas Yisrael. Plain. Simple. Nishmas Yisrael. Shechina. A Jew says, I'm a Jew. Shechina. He never said that his whole life. To bring a person to say, I'm a Jew, which I mentioned many times, the whole inyan of the Lubavitcher Rebbe School, and it was that, is to stop this person, was the tefillin, was the ikkar was that he says, yes, I am Jewish. Once he said those words, yes, I am Jewish, he admitted to being Jewish, you won. That's it. Because he hasn't said those words in years. And he hasn't thought about that necessarily in years. And he said, yeah, I'm Jewish. Wow. So now you have all over the world millions of Jews that are saying, yeah, I'm Jewish. And it bothers them and it hurts them. It hurts them that another Jew is hurting. Because why? Because that other Jew is not outside of me. The other Jew lives inside of me. There are other things inside of you. Shabbos, mitzvahs. There are other things inside of you. Would you like to see? And they're open to see. If we talk to them with their charis. They're open to seeing it. People that never in the past that would never ever have been interested in hearing about it. Sorry, do you want to say something?
I was just going to ask Rebbe a question. I've seen that inyan, tremendous hiskashrus with non-religious Jews right now. Now the question, I've also unfortunately, and I've witnessed this and unfortunately know people like this who are Jewish and have no hiskashrus. Like Dafka now, they hate Israel, they say they don't want anything to do with other...
These are people, David, I understand. These are people who have been, unfortunately, indoctrinated and brainwashed. And they need a refuah, they need a yeshua. They've been indoctrinated. The kids are being raised nowadays in the secular schools with such a strong indoctrination. We saw a whole generation that was raised in communist Russia. We lost that generation, you know that. Those were Jews. Millions of them. That were raised in Russia, in communist Russia. And they're gone. Because the indoctrination, the brainwashing, and the social cultural pressure is so powerful that unless it's actually a knife is put to this person's throat, and there's a Kiddush Hashem, like, you know, we're going to kill you unless you convert, they're not going to. This the klipa is so thick over so many years. What Stalin Yamach Shemo was Matzlich was more than what Hitler was Matzlich, in a certain way. He had a different method. There's such a strong indoctrination. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. I don't understand. If someone could explain to me, how's it possible that there's a Jew in the cabinet of the United States of America that he's pushing us to walk away from Hamas? Can you understand such a thing? Can you understand that there's a senator from New York State?
Yes.
That a Jewish senator from New York State, yes, talks like a Jew and he looks like a Jew and he goes around parading himself as a Jew. I can understand it. But there's Tivus Mum and Tivus Covid. The Tivus for Covid, the Tivus for Mum and Covid and for power, it could cause a person to become blind. That's not what the kids are just indoctrinated. But it's scary because there's a whole generation like that. So it's a very powerful klipa. So Hashem brought a war, and we have a war, and the war is a very strong thing to break through the klipa. And it's breaking through a lot. But there's still those that it's very, very hard because the klipa is very thick. They were raised in such coldness and such... they're so indoctrinated in the schools now. Who are these people that are going to be the next, like the people who are going to be running the country? Mashiach will come and everything, this whole game will be done. But can you imagine what it's going to look like if these are the people going to run the country 10 years from now, 20 years from now? The country's going to be run by these people? What is that? How could you have a world that's run by these people? But these are Jews that if we would get them by themselves and we would be able to work with them and talk to them, they would be fine. They'd be terrific. They'd be fine. But we don't get a crack at them. All they have are their schools and their teachers and their professors. We don't get a chance to talk to them. Where are they going to come to listen to us? Where are we going to get to them? How do we get to them? So the ones that are on the campus, and maybe they went to Friday night to the Chabad or to some Hillel thing, so Kulei Hai, maybe something, but it's very hard to sustain. So how do we get to them? This is the problem. Because they're sitting hours and hours a day listening to this tumma, to this nonsense, this tumma, this craziness. That's all they hear. So they've been completely poisoned by this. That's why when they had that thing a couple of months ago with Harvard and you know, with the president over there, her and the other two, when that happened, it was such a gewaltig thing. I was so happy about that because it opened up so many eyes. It opened up a lot of eyes. And what's happening, that just to say that here you have, I would say, this most educated person, but it turns out this is not just an educated person, and most of the things that she wrote, she copied and so on. But that it opened up the eyes to see that Hem lo shelanu, that this is not us. And that's happening. The whole Muhammad is opening up eyes that there's them and there's us. Now that's how I was raised. I'm sure some of you were raised like that too. There's them and there's us. That doesn't mean that I can't talk to a person. Doesn't mean I can't take a class, you know, in this subject or something. But it's them and it's us. So when that happened that day, when it wasn't b'derech hateva, how any intelligent person, and they're intelligent people, how any intelligent people could have said such things like they said that day by the hearings. I watched it over a dozen times. I kept on watching the clip of the two ladies. The other one kept more quiet, you know what I'm saying? That was from the one from Pennsylvania. She was more quiet. She was Jewish, yeah?
Yeah, MIT.
The other two were talking more. The one from Harvard was the one. And I was thinking to myself, how could it be that they say something so stupid? Forget about that they're anti-Semites. They're not anti-Semites. I don't know if they're anti-Semites, not anti-Semites. They're just trying to keep their jobs. But how is it? But how could they say something? Don't they know that this is going to be bad? Don't they? How could you say such a thing? The whole world is watching you. And then afterwards, that's not what I said. I really said this, and that's not what I meant. You know, I said it. I didn't mean it. I said it. I misspoke, or they misheard. You know, all these things. What did it take for you to? Why would you say such a thing? Like, and you think that? And Schumer now is expecting to be invited to the Young Israel of Bayside or something. His annual invitation to all the shuls to to pay money to the senator to be able to sign some papers for us. When he got up and he did such a thing that he was mevaza himself and the Jewish people, and quite shemaim in such a way. There shouldn't be another Jew that talks to him, that has a word with him. He shouldn't be allowed into any shul. He should be never allowed into any place where there are Jews, unless he does tshuva. No, it's not my idea. Whatever he does, he could do tshuva. See, he could do tshuva. But what he did to the covet of Am Yisrael, how could it be such a thing? So there, it's not the indoctrination. Although he's had that too. He's gotten that too. It's mammon. Oh, yeah, it's covet. Probably not even the money.
Power.
Anybody ever met, because I saw this guy 30, 40 years ago, and he used to come around to the yeshivas to talk.
My father used to drive him around.
Sorry.
In the beginning when he was first running and he wanted to meet people, he called himself, he's the
Show me Yisrael. Yeah, I know. And he comes from Alexander Hasidim and the whole thing. He used to come to every yeshiva graduation, go up there and talk about Israel. They didn't even tell me. He goes to Babov and he says, "Well, the state of Israel." And all the Bachim is sitting there. What's that? And they don't like that. He's the Shomer Yisrael.
Rabbi, he was at the rally and it was all gaiva. I'm Yisrael, yeah. Hi. I mean, he said nothing. The Speaker of the House, the Goy, what time came after him? He said everything. Yeah. The calls for a ceasefire is
So how could such a thing be? The power. So it's not that he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, when he was like there at night, and he's getting like all these nasty things from Jews, that's all upset with him. Does he have a hero tshuva? Mm-hmm. I hope he has a hero tshuva. They think, oh, what did I do? I don't think he's married. He's married to someone that's not Jewish. But what? I think he's married to someone that's not Jewish. But to think for a second, oh, what did I do? What did I do? Maybe I have to do tshuva.
You said the same thing the second time.
You said it again?
He doubled up.
No, it's all about power. Okay, he's not done. He should do tshuva. He's a yid. All of us should be zaken to do tshuva.